in the middle of the summer of 1977. Actually, the month was July. This took place in the Big Apple or New York City, where they live on the other end of the day. There was a lot of excitement going on. It was warm. Bars were filled. Movies and theaters were packed out. People were at restaurants. People were walking in the park. All kinds of activity. Then all of a sudden, total darkness engulfed the city. No electricity. Blackout for 24 hours. Phone lines were jammed. Emergency medical services were crippled. People were in a panic, to say the least. Elevators were stopped between floors. During that time, criminals seized the opportunity to go out and mug people, rob people, businesses, rape people, and killed. That's darkness. Isn't it amazing what darkness does? Had it been light, that probably would not have happened. We might wake up some morning in pitch black darkness. So far as cooking our breakfast, doing all the things that we depend upon so far as electricity is concerned, that's a very big possibility if we're getting into cyber war, and we certainly are. Robert Louis Stevenson lived in a time when every evening a guy with a ladder climbed up, lit a light, and Robert Louis Stevenson saw that, and he said, "This guy is punching holes in the darkness." And that is certainly true. Today we want to look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He punched holes in the darkness. There's more darkness than what we think. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." God created both darkness and light. Darkness does have some good so far as our going to sleep. How many of you like to sleep in a bright light? How many of you like to sleep in a bright light? Not too many. We like it to be at least pretty dark. And when it comes to the spiritual world, we're so thankful that Jesus is the light of the world. And in fact, our world is not totally dark anyway. One of the things that I used to love doing, I was a little younger. My friend Ben and I would go fishing and hiking in the Wind River Mountains of Wyoming. And we would take enough food for maybe 2 or 3 days, depending upon how good the fishing was. But the wonderful thing that we liked about it is all day long the sun would warm the rocks, and at night we would take our sleeping bags and put them on the rocks, and we stayed warm for quite a while. But aside from that, we were able to see the stars, the moon, not a man-made light within 50 or 60 miles. And I still remember those nights. We were both Christians, both pastors. It's amazing how you can praise God in a situation like that. So we thank the Lord for what he said. "I am the light of the world." How many of you have a nightlight in your bathroom? Most everybody does. Doesn't put out very much light, just enough light so that you don't break her neck. But then we have other man-made lights. We have candles. We have really bright flashlights these days, some as much as 1,000 lumens. And they say, don't look directly into it because it might hurt your eye. So we have man-made lights, but I prefer the lights that the Lord made. Here's the thing. God has given us a tremendous light. It's called the sun. I don't know about you, after those two or three cloudy days, what's the one thing you want to see? The sun. It makes us feel good. It puts a different spin on life. We don't even like day after. In fact, the places in the United States where it's the most cloudy and the wind blows the most is the highest suicide rates in the United States of America. Casper, Wyoming is one of those. So we like the sun. And thank God for the sun. It's 300,000 times greater in mass than the earth. I can't even imagine what that is. But we're certainly thankful for the sun. What we want to look at this morning primarily is the meaning of what the scripture says about Jesus Christ being the light of the world. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. You see, if we're constantly in sin, we don't want any kind of light because it betrays what we really are. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We have played out in front of our very eyes darkness. A madman who wants to extend the old Russian Empire. Since all of this took place, we haven't seen of him, heard it from him, or anything else. And the world has stood up in arms against the whole scenario. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. And I know there are some people in the Ukraine who want to be Russians. Well, maybe what they ought to do is just walk across the border and join Russia. We have people in our own country who say they hate America. We'll burn the flag. We'll speak disrespectfully of the United States. We want socialism. Well, go to Venezuela. How about North Korea? There are many places that these people could go, but you know they won't. You know why? Because they got it made in the shade of the United States. That's where they make their money. That's where they have the freedom to come and go. And so they badmouth us, but they won't go. My advice is, go. Don't like us? Go. Amen? There's all kinds of evil and wickedness that exists in our dark world. Murders, thefts, witchcraft, debauchery, all kinds of things go on in the darkness. History tells us that on that night in 1977, crime was more rampant than ever before because of the darkness. That's what darkness does. I want to read a passage of scripture for you from 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is what it says about living in the light. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. And that's primarily what we're talking about, is spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Spiritual darkness is predominant in our world today. Spiritual darkness invades almost everything that we can think about. How many of you have children who don't like to be in the dark? Well, some of us have passed that stage, haven't we? But some don't like to be in the dark, and that's all right. There's two things that can change that: a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and somebody who is much bigger in the room to protect them. Jesus is the light that we need. People who live continually in sin do not like the light because it exposes what they're all about. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus recognized the darkness, the spiritual darkness in the lives of people, and he came to punch holes in that spiritual darkness. And that hole can only be punched when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So he came to dispel darkness. But the darkness continues to grow in this day and age, but it will eventually be wiped out 100%. You know, most people, if they were in the process of dying, most people, not everybody, most people would not refuse to see a doctor. Most starving people would accept a box of food. Most drowning people would probably accept a boat. Most freezing people would probably accept a coat. Yet when Jesus, the light of the world, comes and punches holes in the darkness and offers us eternal life through his sacrifice at the cross, people say, oh, no. No, I'll do it my way. I'll get there by myself. Here's the point. The prince of darkness, Satan, rules the hearts of unbelievers. Do you have any idea what the new atheism thinks about you as a Christian? Would you like to know? Or would you not like to know? This is from a book entitled The Dark Agenda, written by David Horowitz. And by the way, David was not a Christian, but he supports Christianity. And he gives us an expose of what the new atheism teaches about you and about me. First of all, he says, religion, Christianity in particular, poisons everything. And then he goes on to say that we are violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism and tribalism and bigotry, invested in ignorance and hostility. We do not want anything to do with free inquiry. We are contemptuous of women and coercive towards children. And so he says we have an awful lot that should be on our conscience. That's the tip of the iceberg about what the new atheism thinks about you as a Christian. And this is what Jesus came to dispel. I am the light of the world. And we have people recently who were atheists, but who have come to Christ after their study
of the actual evidence.
Here's a very interesting thing from John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There was a festival every year in Jerusalem. That festival was held in the middle area of the temple. It was actually called the Woman's Temple. Actually, there was a place actually where women could go in the temple. And every year, there was a great celebration in that particular place. They had candelabras. Now listen to this. 75 feet tall. Have you ever seen a candelabra 75 feet tall? And on the top of the candelabra, there were four bowls. And the guys would get up there with 10 gallons of oil and fill those bowls with oil. And then at the very zenith of the celebration, they would light those candelabras. And it's believed that at this time, as the celebration wound down, that Jesus said to the nation of Israel, I am the light of the world. That was quite a celebration. They sang, they played instruments, they glorified God, they filled his temple with light. That light was so bright because the temple was on a hillside and it could actually be seen throughout the city. What a marvelous thing. And this is when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What a glorious thing. Then, a little later, let's think for just a moment about the wonder of a blind man. Just a little later, Jesus came upon a blind man. He said, I'm the light of the world. How did he prove that? He proved that by healing a blind man. You can say I'm the light of the world, but if you can't heal a blind man, you're probably not the light of the world. And so he healed this blind man who had been blind since birth. He had never, ever observed the sunrise. He had never observed the face of the people who loved him. And Jesus healed him of his blindness. And now he could be excited. He could see a sunrise and a sunset. He could watch little children running and playing. He could see the food that he ingested. What a wonderful thing to think about. Blind since birth, and now I can see. Here's my question. Those of us who have sight, do we see? Do you really see? Do you see that Jesus is the light of the world, punching holes in spiritual darkness? We get so busy, so involved in so many things. I think most of us go through life and we really don't see what's around us, the glory that's around us, the joy of knowing the light of the world, Jesus Christ. This man could now see things that he couldn't even imagine. It must have been a marvelous experience. But we take our seeing pretty much for granted. Oh, yeah. I like what John shared with me this morning about the Eagles north of town. Showed me some photos of them. Beautiful picture. That's something we want to see. Now, here's the interesting thing. The religious leaders, and I read this chapter over and over, They pushed on this man who had been blind from birth and now was able to see. They pushed on him and pushed on him and pushed on him. How did this happen? Who was it who did this? They were looking for some reason to be onerous to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they pushed and pushed and pushed. And finally, in exhaustion, he said, I don't know how to answer your dumb questions. That's my translation. And they were stupid questions. They shouldn't have expected him to know, blind from birth, and all of a sudden he sees. And this is how he replied. I don't know. All I know is this. Once I was blind, and now I see. And that's what has happened to you and to me, I hope. Once we were blind, now we see because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is much more important and is much more interested in delivering us from spiritual blindness than anything else. He wants to do that every day. And it's easy for us to get a dim vision. And I hope that's what has happened this week. Causes us to open our eyes and to understand what the scripture says. There will be war and rumors of war, but the end is not yet. You go to the book of Revelation, and it says when those things that are not yet start to take place, they will take place in lightning speed. Get prepared spiritually. We could be on the cusp of a third world war. We don't know. But we need to pray that that will not happen. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. And we need to pray. You know, people don't want war for the most part. They want peace. But we seem unable to find that. And so there's war and rumors of war. Jesus gives us light in every area of life. Jesus gives us light in our relationships to each other. He gives us light in our marriages. He gives us light in how to deal with our children. He gives us light in how to deal with our neighbors. He gives us light so that we can forgive. As Gwen and I have said, after 66 years of marriage, we wouldn't be together if it wasn't for forgiveness. If we had not been able to forgive each other for the onerous things that we did to each other. By the way, your pastor and wife do not live a perfect life. Do we? But forgiveness is a real key. Jesus gives guidance about every area of life, about our money or lack of it. Gives light in the darkness, darkest times of life. We all go through some difficult times. That's when the light shines, or we should allow it to shine. Jesus calls us to know him because he said, I am the light of the world. Fanny Crosby. How many of you have heard of Fanny Crosby? You know, she was blind. Well, she wasn't blind from birth. Some interesting guy put some hot bandages on her eyes, thinking that that would cure her eye problem, and it blinded her. So from a small child,
She was blind.
She lived to be 94 years old. In that 94 years, she wrote over 8,000 Christian poems. Many of those poems were set to music and became hymns. And we, at least the older generation, still knows those hymns and sings those hymns, such things as, "To God be the glory, all things he has done. Praise him, praise him." And I think there's some in the hymn book, aren't there? Some of Fanny Crosby's hymns are in the hymn book. On her 90th birthday, by the way, she visited kings and queens. She had quite a life. On her 90th birthday, blind as a bat, this is what she said. "I am the happiest person in the entire world." God gave her spiritual light, even though she could not see physical light. And she lived that every day until she passed away at the age of 94. We need to pray that we do not allow spiritual darkness to overtake us. Pretty easy. Because we can run from God, we can stay away from his word, and we can just kind of lose it. But Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here's a passage of scripture from Matthew. This is what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, "You are the light of the world." Wow. "But I don't have any." That's because we are reflectors. The moon doesn't have any light. It reflects the light of the sun. And so it is with you, and so it is with me. We reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your godliness, and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I don't have any light. The only light I have is what I get from Jesus Christ. I cannot produce spiritual light. You cannot produce spiritual light. But you can reflect the spiritual light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light is to bring you to the place where people understand that you belong to the Lord and that they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. In closing, let me remind you about Corrie ten Boom. Her Christian family lived in Holland in the 1940s when the Germans came and began capturing Jews. The ten Boom family, at great risk to themselves, helped hide Jews in their home. They were finally caught. Corrie and Betsy, her sister, were sent to Ravensbrück, almost as bad as Auschwitz. Terrible place. Corrie later said that 1,400 women were put in a barracks that was designed to hold 400. Now I want you to think about that. As Corrie described it, it was absolute filth. But if you've read her book, you know that in that context, Corey and Betsy not only praised the Lord, but they were able to bring others to the Lord in that terrible context. Betsy had a vision, a dream, and she shared it with Corey. She said, "Here's my dream. The Lord said in my dream that He expects us when we get out of here to tell this whole thing around the world." 1 week later, Betsy died. Another week later, Corey was released. And she did indeed travel over the world and share what had happened to them. And it was a testimony to what Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." What a testimony. This week, we need to ask the Lord to make us tremendous reflectors of His light. We live in a dark world. And there are people out there in our community who need the Lord. And so let our light so shine that they may see that Jesus really lives within us and come to know, have a desire to know Him as personal Savior. Our job is to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a great reflector. Our hymn of invitation this morning, "My Savior's Love." And that's what we want to reflect, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be standing as we sing.